Good day, and welcome to the quarterly report 6 month 2017-2018 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Sebastian Berrix, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for joining our call today. Welcome to our 6 month 2017-18 analyst call. I am Sebastian Frerix, Director of Investor Relations, and with me are our President and CEO, Ludwin Monz, and our CFO, Christian Müller. I would like to hand over to our management now to give you an introduction to our quarterly financials of the 6 months of fiscal year 2017-18, and afterwards we'll take your questions.
Yeah, good morning. This is Ludwin Monz speaking. Welcome also from my end to Carlsberg Meditec's analyst call on the 17-18 numbers for the first half of the year. If you turn to slide 3 of the presentation, you see our agenda for the conference call. I will start with an overview about the 6 month results. Afterwards, my colleague Christian Müller will discuss the financials in the next section of the presentation. And in the third agenda point, I will share some highlights of the first half with you. And finally, we will provide an outlook for the second half of the year. So please turn to slide number 4. I'm really glad to report that Carlsberg Meditec had a very successful first half of the fiscal year. We could grow substantially in this period compared to prior year, despite of significant currency effects, as you will hear in a minute. Revenues reached 614 million euros, which corresponds to 4% growth. On a constant currency basis, growth rate was nearly 10%, which is similar to Q1 growth. We will hear about the growth contributors from Christian in some detail. However, most importantly, growth contributions came from both SBUs and from all our regions. EBIT decreased due to a one-off gain from disposal of non-core assets related to the hydrophilic IOLs at Ontario, California, in the prior year. And the second effect was a negative currency exchange rate development over the period. The effect of these factors on the EBIT margin is around 100 basis points. Our net income reached 56 million euros, which corresponds to earnings per share of 0.63 euros. In prior year, we had 0.76. The decrease is primarily based on the one-time gain in the past year, the currency effects, but also on the higher number of shares outstanding after our capital increase. Yeah, so much about the overview. Overall, as I said, the performance developed nicely, and I would now like to hand over to Christian.
Yeah, good morning. Also, welcome from my side. And as Ludwin said, after 6 months, we see overall a continuation of our solid performance that we already reported in Q1. On an SBU level, starting with the performance for the SBU ophthalmic devices. On slide number 6, revenue came in for ophthalmic devices with 449 million euro, which is, compared to prior year, a reported growth of 3.7%, plus 3.7%. And currency effects negatively influenced our top line number, so on a constant currency basis, growth is at 8.6%, so significant growth. After some years of struggle in our diagnostic segment, with major changes in the overall competitive landscape, our recovery in that product category is making good further progress, and we see continued positive effects here. So the top line trend has clearly improved in that segment. And a variety of measures had been initiated here, and also the introduction of the new Clarus 500 system early this fiscal year has contributed positively. Our refractive laser systems continued its strong performance from the past. Here, especially our SMILE technology develops and continues to develop very nicely. And finally, in surgical ophthalmology, with our IOL product for cataract surgery, we also could gain further market shares, and this is true for both segments, for the premium as well as the standard IOL segment. Regarding profitability, the EBIT margin in our business unit of ophthalmic devices is nearly at a similar level compared to last year, if adjusted for the one-off gains from the sale of the non-core assets at the Ontario plant. The currency headwinds we've experienced so far, of course, also have had a bottom-line effect, but so far we've been successful here in limiting the overall impact. So moving on to microsurgery, so our second strategic business unit, microsurgery, delivers a solid performance with revenues of 164 million euro. That's a revenue increase of around, or exactly 6.5% reported. Heavy currency headwinds here as well. So on a constant currency basis, growth at plus 12%. There's good growth in the neuro ENT as well as in the office dental area. As announced last business year, there were two major new product launches in these two medical applications. On the one hand, the Kinevo 900, our new robotic visualization system, and on the other hand, the Xtaro 300, a new surgical microscope for dentistry. And both launches are developing nicely. Overall, the EBIT margin for microsurgery still clearly above 20%, despite some headwinds from increases in OPEX due to the launches of these new products, new systems, and on the other hand, also currency effects had negatively impacted the overall profitability here as well. So then the regional view on our business, on our revenue distribution on slide number 8. No changes to the overall regional split across the three regions. So all three regions represent comparable shares as in Q1. So between 30% for Americas and 39% for Asia Pacific. The Americas region, with a revenue contribution of 182 million euro, was the region that was hit strongest by currency effects, and here mainly the US dollar, which finally leads to a reported slight decrease of minus 1.8, so roughly minus 2%. Constant currency-wise, so currency corrected, the growth versus previous year is at 8.1%. Here, the U.S., the by far largest market, reported the development of minus 1%. Currency corrected, we see an increase of plus 11% versus previous year. So we are seeing, again, good growth in the U.S. South America slightly reduced here, mainly Brazil, weaker than the year before. In EMEA, with a revenue contribution of 193 million euro, overall an increase of 10%, less significant currency effect here, so currency corrected 11.4%, so significant growth here as well now. The positive picture versus previous year applies to nearly all countries in the EMEA region, and all major large countries positive developments that we could see here in the first 6 months. Asia Pacific with 239 million euro, an increase of 5.2%, constant currency-wise 9.2% growth. Again, here in this region, a strong revenue growth, especially in China, as well as in South Korea. Weaker was Japan. So Japan reported a slight decrease, constant currency-wise, also an increase, a slight increase, but still reduced growth dynamic compared to the other countries in Asia-Pacific. So then let's move on to slide number 9, overview about the profit and loss line items. We see a stable gross margin with 55%. Here the negative currency effects could be compensated by positive mix effects on the one hand and positive effects from the ongoing cost management measures on the other side. The OPEX, in terms of absolute numbers, have increased. On the one hand, here we've expanded our sales and marketing activities. We had some also additional expenses due to the introduction of the new products and also increased our R&D activities in the first 6 months compared to last fiscal year. Some of the increases in R&D on a year-to-year comparison are due to the consolidation of a technology acquisition, a technology joint venture in the area of OCT technology, where we made some investments at the end of last business year. The OPEX overall still on a stable level of roughly 40% of sales, more or less comparable. Leading to an EBIT of 88 million euro, which is below prior year, but as already mentioned, prior year's number includes the one-time effect due to the sale of the Ontario assets of roughly 8 million euro. So the EBIT margin is at 14.4%, slightly below last year's margin of 15%, which excludes now the last year's one-off gain from the disposal of the non-core assets. Negative effects of the currency headwinds on EBIT margin, as Ludwin already mentioned, estimated to be around 100 basis points. Then the adjusted EBIT margin on slide number 10. Our adjusted EBIT margin reached 14.7%, so slightly lower than last fiscal year, 0.5%. And this is mainly related to the negative currency effects that I just mentioned. Besides that, there are only acquisition-related effects. On the one hand, the already several times mentioned one-off gains from the sale of the Ontario assets last year, and on the other hand, rather smaller effects related to purchase price allocations, which are related to the depreciation in both periods. Slide number 11, numbers on our cash flow. The operating cash flow with 34 million above prior year's level. Main effects here, lower increase in accounts receivables than prior year. The cash flow from investing activities on a relatively low level. Main effect here, the acquisition of the before mentioned technology joint venture in last year. And then the finally, the cash flow from financing activities was mainly influenced by the development of the short-term deposits held at our group treasury accounts. So with that, I would now like to hand back to Ludwig.
Yeah, thank you, Christian, for the discussion.
The next section is our highlight section. As you might be aware, the growth of the first half of the year was very much supported by the new product introductions. That's true both in ophthalmology, OPT, and microsurgery. We use the large, as you might know, we use the large trade shows, which accompany the meetings of the ophthalmology and the microsurgery societies to present our news to our customer base. Now let's turn to slide 13. Just in the past month of April, there were two major trade shows in the U.S. The American Society of Cataract and Refractive Surgery met in Washington, D.C., and the American Association of Neurological Surgeons held a meeting in New Orleans. On both shows, Zeiss featured a large and, I believe, very successful presence. Particularly on our new products Claros, but also VisualMax and Kinevo. We received strong attention, backed by a really comprehensive scientific program. We are happy to report that our new products in both segments were very well received. We got positive feedback from our customers, could generate many leads, which we will follow up on after the shows. And we could generate some significant revenue also on the show itself. On slide 14, I would like to continue. As some of you asked about the introduction of the Kinevo 900, let me give you some more details. The product, the Kinevo 900, is our flagship neurosurgical workplace. It features surgeon-controlled robotics, digital hybrid visualization, as well as the micro-inspection tool Kevo. As we indicated to you previously, the Kinevo 900 was developed together with around 50 of our customers, mainly neurosurgeons, in order to focus the product on their most relevant needs. As is shown on the slide, our customers could not be more excited about it. Among the early adopter group, there are already many big names in neurosurgery, both in Europe and the U.S., and some are listed here on the slide. Our customers continuously find new applications where the Kinevo adds extra clinical value and supports them in their daily work. And they really see a chance to improve also the outcomes of their patients, which is the most important thing in their work. Commercially, it is still early days, and keep in mind that we are still transitioning from the predecessor model, the Pentero. Nevertheless, we have achieved a cumulative mid-double-digit million euro amount in revenue from Kinevo placements already, and the trajectory of the launch looks very strong so far. So we look forward to continuing on this really positive trend. Yeah, then let's move on, and we'll get now to the last agenda item of today's presentation, which is the outlook. Please turn to slide number 16. The long-term trend for the medical market in general and for the microsurgery and the ophthalmology markets in particular are fully intact, and these trends should lead us to further profitable growth. Most importantly, the population in some countries like the U.S., Japan, China, but also Western European countries is aging, and that drives the occurrence of age-related diseases. Furthermore, the population growth, as well as growing wealth in rapidly developing economies like China or India and others, this drives the healthcare demand in these countries. An interesting factor which is also contributing to growth is the improvement of information access and, as a consequence, better disease awareness of patients. So they rather would see a doctor, which grows the market in the end. While healthcare professionals benefit from growth, and there are also challenges for the healthcare system, such as the growing patient load, growing patient expectations, and, of course, last but not least, also growing healthcare costs. Carl Zeiss Meditec will continue to follow the strategy, which has been successful over the past years. With our solutions, we directly address customer needs. We enable the healthcare systems to improve patient outcomes and treatment efficiency. Our strategic priorities remain unchanged. We want to further expand recurring revenue generation. We drive market penetration of the SMILE procedure in refractive laser surgery. We aim at further extending technology leadership in ophthalmic surgery and particularly in cataract surgery. And we want to lead the neuro and ENT surgery market by turning our next generation product now into business success. Digital solutions obviously will play a key role in this. Carl Zeiss Meditec has been a leader in digitalization of ophthalmology for some years, and we will continue to broaden our portfolio in this field as well. Okay, for fiscal year 2017-18, we expect consolidated revenues between 1.23 and 1.28 billion euros. This corresponds to a growth between 3.4 and 7.6 years versus prior year. The EBIT margin is expected to be in the range between 14 and 16%. We confirm our midterm guidance. We want to grow at least as fast as our markets. In terms of EBIT, also midterm, we want to reach the attractive range between 14 and 16%. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our prepared remarks, and we are now happy to take your questions, and I hand back to the moderator.
Thank you very much, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We can take our first question from Falko Friedrichs from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I would have three, please. Firstly, you showed this very strong development in microsurgery. Could you elaborate a bit more on the aspects that contributed to this besides the new product launches, if there are any? And then following on to that, within the microsurgery segment, could you share which regions are showing the highest demand at the moment? Then my last question is regarding your revenue guidance. What would be the factors that would need to fall into place in the second half of the year for you to achieve the high end of the revenue guidance? And then the lower end almost seems a bit conservative. Are there any reasons why you seem to be a bit more careful here?
Yeah, I'll start, and Christian, you might fill in. So in microsurgery, I really believe that this market is very much driven by products. This is a market which is very sensitive to technology, because the performance of neurosurgical procedures very much depends on technology. So if there's something new, the clinics start to buy, replace their old equipment with new equipment, and we see growth, right? It has been like this really for the last 20 years I've been in this market. And we now once again see the very same behavior. So always when we introduce something new, the market starts to grow, right? We have a significant market share. So this is why market growth depends on what we introduce. And that's exactly what we see right now. The Kinevo, our new flagship product, clearly is the major driver. I should also mention the Extaro, which is a new system we introduced for dental, and that's also a contributing factor. So it's really this, right? And regarding your second question, region-wise, MCS has a major business in the U.S. So now, you know, also the growth we've seen in the U.S. clearly was partly driven by microsurgery. But it's not all U.S., right? So we sell these products all over the world and see good growth basically in all regions. So I couldn't say, you know, that it's just one region or two regions which drive this. It's very much the split you see in the overall growth of the company. Yeah, regarding the guidance, look, as you could see, we heavily depend on exchange rates. That's just a fact, right? And if you just look at the difference between our reported growth and the constant currency growth, it's so significant that you can imagine that we also in the second half of the year will very much depend on currency exchange rates. That's the unknown. That's the big unknown I see, besides the general economic development. But here our assumption is that it will basically stay where it is, and that we do not see a major a change in the market. So for me, the big unknown is really the currency development. Everything else I would expect to be pretty stable. And, yeah, Christian, maybe you can fill in, but I believe that's basically it.
Yeah, so no major risks, of course, occurring that the competitive landscapes does not provide any major surprises in the next upcoming quarters. And regarding the regional split, perhaps one additional information, the regulatory approvals to get new products into the markets vary from country to country, and there are especially in Asia Pacific, some countries that require more time to get the products there. So, for example, the Kinevo is not yet approved in China. We've seen, if you look at our regional split a year ago, we've always seen a much stronger growth rate in Asia Pacific. The Asia Pacific growth continues to be strong, but now we also see catching up of the growth rate in EMEA as well as in the US. And microsurgery is one contributor to it, but it's not the only one.
Great, thank you. Just a quick follow-up, if I may. When could the Kinevo get approved in China? What's your latest thinking in terms of the timeline here?
Well, it still takes some time, probably another 12 months, something like that, until we get. But it's highly, vague to give timelines here.
Yeah. It's not in our hands. You know, this is just it's up to the authorities, the government authorities, to approve products. So we hand in the documents, and then it just takes time. And we can hardly predict when it's going to happen. But I believe 12 months is a fair estimate.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1. We can take our next question from Daniel Wendorff from Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, and thanks for taking my questions. And two, if I may. Starting with your intraocular lens portfolio, can you update us on where you stand with regards to bringing your own product lines to the market in the U.S.? A second question would be on your Smile launch in the U.S. As far as I understand, is that the number of new placements is coming down slightly as the astigmatism is not yet approved in the U.S. Where are we there with regards to a potential approval of astigmatism correction and with regards to the placements of equipment? Thank you.
Yeah, all difficult questions and all difficult to answer because it's like similar like the question on the approval of the Kinevo. These are all approval questions, right? And it's kind of as we say in German, Kaffeesatzlesen. Yeah, it's kind of difficult to predict. So for the IOLs, we have started clinical trials in the U.S. Very early stage, right? So we need to complete these trials, then hand into the FDA. It's a lengthy process, and we are very early in that stage. Do not expect us to get approval here short term. That's just not realistic. But we are determined to start this now, and we have started it. We are in clinical trials. We have to go, and that also due to the regulatory process, we have to go product by product, right? So we cannot get the full portfolio approved at once. The FDA requires us to start with just one lens. We start with the Lucia, and then to extend that, right? But without that first approval, we are not allowed to go for the next level and do the more sophisticated IOLs. So that is another factor which slows things down, unfortunately. Second, on SMILE in the U.S., you're right that new placements have slowed down because of the astigmatism. It's just the situation is that doctors feel that they need to have the full indication range approved, because otherwise the selection of a patient is very difficult, right? And only a small part of the patients are right now allowed to be treated by SMILE, and that is why there is a hesitance right now in the market, which is understandable. So now here again, it's up to the FDA. We've done our homework, which is clinical trial. The data has been filed with the FDA, and we are now waiting for the response. I cannot tell you how long it's going to take, but here again, I would say 8 to 12 months is an estimate. It's really an estimate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We can take our next question from Olivia Reinberg from Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Olivia Reinberg from Kepler Cheuvreux. Three questions, if I may. Firstly, Christian, I think you talked about a positive mix effect that supported the gross margin and was offsetting the currency headwind. I was actually a bit surprised because I thought earlier that first half last year where you saw the support from a higher share of treatment packs being sold, probably also as part of certain stocking effects, plus the fact that you switched certain VisuMark system over to the SMILE technology. So I was actually thinking that Q2 had a kind of adverse mix effect. So if you can provide some kind of color why there was a positive mix effect, that would be helpful. Secondly, in terms of competition, it's not always very easy to track that. Can you just update us? Is there anything that you see in terms of premium IOL competition where someone is actually improving their position or any new activities in terms of microscope launches or anyone else joining in here? That would be helpful. And thirdly, I understand you obviously can't say much on M&A, but can you just vaguely talk about is there any kind of improvement being made in the last 3 months? That would be helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, but first question. Regarding the mix effects, we had, in fact, say you mentioned one effect of last year, which was indeed the treatment pack numbers, which went up. But what we see a continuous growth in that segment. So we've placed further units, and the treatment packs are also continuously growing. That even such extraordinary effects which have occurred, let's say, in the last weeks of Q2 of last year do not play such a significant role anymore in the overall numbers. And on the other side, we also see, of course, further over-proportional growth in our other consumables and implants business. The IOLs are also growing, so the base is growing here. These businesses and a very, let's say, stable and faster-growing microsurgery business as well is also contributing, of course, with an over-proportional margin to that. Those were the main mixed effects that I
Yeah, as I was saying in the presentation, it's our strategy to grow the share of recurring revenue, right? So we grow that constantly. We grew it last year, which caused a positive mix effect, and we grew it once again this year, and again have that positive mix effect. So we hope to continue this trend. On your second question regarding news in the IOL field, there's actually not much to report, at least not much I'm aware of. The number of competitors in the premium segment has grown strongly over the last 2 years, I should say. So there's no news now in this quarter. This has just over time developed. But there's no news now of the last month, which would be worth mentioning. The same is true on microscopes. There are, and we saw the same in microsurgery and see it now again in ophthalmology. From time to time, new competitors show up. They come and go. We take it very seriously, of course, always when new competitors come. They try out technologies, but it's very difficult to compete in this market just based on one technology. So we'll see, and a clear trend in the microscope business is further video technology. But with the Kinevo, you can clearly see where we are going. What we've introduced there is certainly also a good model for ophthalmology. But again, on the competitor side, not much development. Yeah, on M&A, as always, I can only refer to what we've said before. We work on that continuously. There's no news that there's more movement in the market sometimes. There is movement, but no change at this front for the time being.
Okay, thanks. If I may sneak in one further question. Is the Kinevo actually already approved in Japan? I thought that you have a meaningful microsurgery business actually in Japan. I was actually thinking that the Kinevo launch will probably also support the growth rate in Japan.
Yes, it is approved in Japan, and I was just there last week, and it creates really some momentum in the market, because the Japanese market is very sensitive to new technology. So I believe that we have quite some potential there. But we don't see yet significant sales there, so they are they were later in the launch activities there in Japan. Taking orders now, but no significant sales yet in Japan. So,
understood. Can you just remind me when have you received approval for Japan?
Not too long ago, but actually I don't know. If you're interested, we can find out. But it cannot be very long, a couple of months. So we'll find out for you.
Enough. Thanks very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions in the phone queue at this time, so I'd like to hand the call back to our host for any additional or closing remarks.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, so thank you very much for joining us today for our analyst conference. We are looking forward to talking to you after Q3. If you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to contact Sebastian Frerix here at Carl Zeiss Meditec or Christian and myself. We are happy to answer your questions also after this call. So thanks again, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.